Hi, everyone. This is Talking Shop, the podcast for anyone who is serious about growing their business online. I'm one of your hosts, Waldo, and every week, Leo and myself will be joined by guest speakers where we'll be discussing topics about anything and everything related to the world of commerce. So sit back, relax, and let's talk shop.
I'm actually going to go straight into a story because I'm really, really happy you're here, Francis. I walked past Freya's desk the other day and I said, get Francis Cook on the podcast. She knows what's going on. And I walked away. And that was the end of that conversation. So somehow she did. She went out. She found you. She talked to you. She booked this meeting. I didn't even realize until last night's show notes. I'm going through my calendar. I'm going, Francis Cook. The Francis Cook. Wait, we actually got her. So hello. Welcome to Talking Shop.
Well, that's very nice of you to be excited. I feel like I'm far too easy to get hold of. New Zealand is very small.
You need to become more exclusive now, you know?
Exactly, exactly. But hey, happy that you're excited. Hopefully I can live up to expectations.
We are. Some of the office members found out that you're, you know, on the show today and they actually wanted to come into the podcast room. I said, no, no, it's just a one-on-one. So there you go. You got some fans here at Cyber, which is great.
Oh, that's really nice. Thanks, team.
Awesome. Now, I can do a little bit of intro of who you are, but I feel like I'm absolutely going to just kill it in the wrong way, not the right way. Do you kind of want to tell people in case they've been living under a rock who you are and what is it that you do?
Yeah, sure. I'm sure you would kill it in the good way, but I will happily take over. So, hi, I'm Frances Cook. I am the investments editor for Business Desk. Most people know me through my podcast, Cooking the Books, or my social media. I do far too much on Instagram and TikTok, trying to get out actual legitimate money chat to drown out some of the nonsense that you see in the social media space. So, yeah, that's basically my thing, trying to make money simple for people.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And actually, you've done a bit more than that. You've done what? TEDx talks. You've written two books. Are they the two books behind you by any chance?
They are. Never miss an opportunity to self-promo.
There you go. I love it. There you go. Perfect. So you've done quite a bit. So I'm really happy to have you here. As I mentioned, there's a lot of merchants listening to this show. So hopefully today we can sort of pick your brains a little bit about what you think is happening in this in our country. Like, I don't like to use the R word, but I might have to say it in this episode. And I don't know if there's been a recession. Has there been a recession? Are we in a recession?
We're in what's called technical recession. So okay. We have hit the two consecutive quarters of recessionary impacts. That means that now we are, yeah, officially technically in a recession, but it's a small one. And it's a weird one because unemployment hasn't really increased. It's gone up like the smallest smidgen. But that's basically just taken us from an extremely tight labor market to a very tight labor market. So recessions usually get the worst when people start losing their jobs and unemployment going through the roof. And that's not really happening. So it's, yeah, we're in a recession, but it's weird.
That's how I feel. And like, I was going to ask you these questions later on, but I'll just tell you right now, like the way I judge it is by how well we're performing as a business, and we're performing quite well. I judge it on all the merchants that we look after or have access to their data, and they're performing really well. And then I do a visual thing where I hate going to the shopping mall, but my wife loves it. And I go to the mall and I look at what people are buying and I look at how many bags they're carrying. And I'm just seeing people have still got like huge amount of like, yes, there you go. Thank you, Lisa. They're just huge amount of bags walking out of these like shops. And like, what's the one I always reference to? Lisa, help me out. Kings. What's it called? Culture Kings. Like, oh, yes. Culture Kings is not a cheap store. There's some very expensive stuff there. And I'm still seeing teenagers rock out with $600 kicks, $500 basketball shirt. And I'm like, do they earn more than me? Or as Kiwis, do we not know how to save or invest our money? Like, I'm not sure.
All of the above?
Yeah, all of the above.
I mean, teenagers don't have a mortgage, which probably does help. So all of the interest rate hikes won't have hurt them quite so badly. But I love what you were saying there about how you judge how it's going, because it is a little bit art and a little bit science, right? Like, you can look at the numbers, but you've also got to sort of do a vibe check, so to speak. And it's like how you can get all of these business confidence surveys and how business leaders are feeling. The reason that they bother with those somewhat slightly wishy-washy feelings is because it can have real impacts on how people act, right? If people are feeling like things are terrible, they might change their behavior even if things aren't actually that bad. So yeah, the fact that we've still got all of these really reassuring good stories coming through and a lot of people are feeling a bit more confident in terms of their job feeling secure, they are still going out and spending. We're starting to see a little bit. I talk to economists a lot.
Yes, I bet you do.
They are wonderfully smart people. And then I try to translate it into English for the rest of us. And what we're seeing is some of those more nice to haves are starting to feel a bit of a chill breeze coming through. Mm. So the really expensive shoes or, you know, the clothes or whatever might be getting fewer sales coming through for them. But there's also the side of it that people like having a treat of some kind. And it's the classic lipstick effect story that you hear about in recessions, that the sales of smaller luxuries. So, you know, the classic is a lipstick, which might be $30 instead of spending $300 on something else. You get a little treat instead of a big one. And so, you know, we say that the nice to haves go down, but the cheap nice to haves might actually go up. So it's always a bit of a balance. The other thing I'd say as well about this recession, all of the data that we use to figure it out is 6 months old.
Right.
So we're already halfway through this recession that we've only just been able to say, yes, technically we're in a recession. We're already 6 months into it. So most recessions last anywhere from a year to 18 months. So if someone is in one of those industries that is feeling the pinch, light at the end of the tunnel is already coming. We are probably already halfway through this. I mean, nobody has a crystal ball, but based on what's happened before, you're probably already substantially through this. So it's a great time to be planning and trying to build if you are one of those people who's having a bit of a tough time.
Yeah, that was wonderful advice. Just hearing that from Frances Cook, I feel so much better. I'm like, all right, we're halfway through, folks. We're nearly there. Let's go. But you're right. We've got some stats from Shopify from Australia. They're saying the number one thing that's sort of cooling off, as you were saying, is jewelry. So about 48% of the people they surveyed said, oh, I'll probably leave jewelry a little bit later. So there's some industries that are feeling the pinch and there's some that are not. So it is interesting. And you kind of said, you know, usually this lasts for about 18 months. Do you see that happening with this recession? You think it's about an 18 months sort of thing going on?
Well, from conversations I've had with people who are far smarter and better at maths than me, it feels about right for this one, particularly because we've got the unemployment numbers, right? So they just came out recently and unemployment went up a little smidge, but the devil is in the detail. Unemployment didn't go up because people were losing their jobs.
Mm.
Unemployment went up because more people were wanting work. So there's more people who want a job that don't have one.
Yes.
And that seems like a bit of a technical difference, but it's actually a really important one. What that means is cost of living pressures, things getting more expensive, more people are saying, oh, I might try to pick a part-time job or things like that. We've also got the borders open again, more people coming into the country looking for work. So the workforce has increased. That's great for businesses who've been really struggling to find staff. And it's also great news in that businesses aren't, apart from some notable headlines recently, businesses in general aren't really laying off people in big numbers. So that means that businesses might be saying, oh, it's a bit tight and oh, we might, you know, pull back on some of our spending, but they're not going for layoffs. So those are two signs that actually the underlying economy is a lot stronger than it would usually be when a recession hits. So that's, yeah, my long-winded way of saying, yeah, probably all signs point to this being quite a short one, hopefully.
Hopefully. And you actually answered something I was going to ask you about, what you're hearing from business owners, and are they really feeling the pinch and releasing or, you know, letting go of staff members? But you're kind of saying that's not the case. They're just finding smart ways to tighten their belts.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, I think, one of the problems that we've had is that, you know, we've still got the last few dregs of the COVID problems just working their way out of the system, right? And there's been supply issues and problems getting, you know, staff and all of that. But as we've come out of that, you know, those pressures coming off means that, okay, we immediately run into the headwind of, and now we're in recession. Neat, cool. But, you know, you take away one pressure and you put on another. That means that people are able to sort of get smart about, they might have been having supply chain issues, and so they had to have more stock on hand. That costs money, of course.
Yes.
Well, now, not so much. You can go back to a bit more of the just-in-time sort of business, and you can go out and really hunt for workers who are the best fit for you, which means your business can operate smarter. So some of the problems that are now going away, thanks to us getting back to a bit more of the normalcy, that will balance out these recession impacts. And for some people, actually, it's still actually even better now.
Yeah, like I was saying before, we're doing well. Our partners that we work with are doing well. Our merchants that we work with are doing well. So it's just like really interesting times, as you mentioned. Let's talk about you a little bit. So you've got the, what you call the number one business podcast. That's good, because we say we've got the number one e-commerce podcast, so we can still be friends. All right.
Love it.
And it's become like the go-to resource for personal finance in New Zealand. So my question to you is, like, what inspired you to start that?
Yeah. And it's been around ages now, I think 6 years.
Okay.
Which is crazy. So when I started, I wasn't really a business journalist yet. I had just come out of politics. Politics is fascinating, but terrible for your soul. So I'd left and I was kind of needing a new project. And so I was thinking about my own life. I was late 20s and I just really felt like I was on this hamster wheel, right? Of, I know I should be doing better. I've had a few pay rises now. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And so I thought, aha, I'm a journalist, which basically means go out and find something that you didn't know about and tell other people about it. That's basically journalism in its simplest form.
Is your 101 paper fit, people? There you go.
Exactly. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to learn about personal finance on company time. And it was actually NZME's first dedicated podcast that wasn't just a recycling of radio shows. And I just got to interview a money expert every single week. And it really lit a fire in me. It turned out to be a massive passion project. And I got to reach out to people who were dealing with similar things to me. And turned out a whole bunch of people were struggling with these issues. And it took on a life of its own. And yeah, since then I've got my qualification as a financial advisor, as you say, written a couple of books about it. Absolutely changed my life, all based on this one sneaky trick of, okay, how can I learn about money on work time?
Yeah. And I'm guessing you sitting down with these financial experts week in and week out, that's fantastic information, you know, going in through one ear and hopefully staying somewhere in your brain and
sticking a little.
Launching into your career. That's what a wonderful opportunity. The reason why I say that is when I was young, I worked as a concierge at a five-star hotel. Yeah, that's just a fancy way of saying bellboy and carrying my bags. But I was a concierge. And, you know, I was carrying the bags of like the Dennis Connors, the big billionaires from overseas staying at the hotel. And whenever I could, I would ask questions like, how did you make it? Or like, what did you do? And some of that information, I think, has shaped the future of what I've done and do the side hustles, do the e-commerce, start a business. So it's important to have this information around you, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I love that. I love so much that you took that position and used it as fuel, because it's really true. It's like that old saying that you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with.
Mm.
And it's really, really true. You know, you have to put yourself in situations where you can learn from people. And the other saying I live by is, if you're the smartest person in the room, go and find a new room.
Get out of that room. Yes.
Yeah. Because you really want to. I feel so lucky in my job. I genuinely love my job. I talk about financial independence and building the ability to retire early all the time. And financial independence is really important to me, but genuinely, I would not retire early at this point, even if I could, because I can just call people who are at the top of their game and pick their brains and say, what's going on in your industry right now? What are your insights? What are you thinking about? What's your tips for other people who want to do what you've done? And they just give me their time.
Love it.
It's incredible. It is the best job in the world. And so, you know, I think you don't have to be a journalist to get that. There are always interesting people doing interesting things. And
well, there's amazing podcasts like the one that you've got and this one here. This is why we're doing this. So, yeah. Sorry, I did interrupt you. You were going to say something else.
Well, no, just, you know, exactly what you were saying. Take the opportunity anytime you're around people to pick the brains of people doing interesting things. Life is full of them, right? And you found them when you were working as a concierge.
Absolutely. I have tried to write my own book and I have finished it, but then I had to start going through the grammar and the spelling mistakes. I was like, oh man, this is going to take a while. So now I'm looking at ChatGPT. I'm like, can you do it? But that's another story. But I was going to say, there was a lady there that this is when the America's Cup came around the first time in the 2000s. It was a long time ago. I'm a young kid then. And there was this lady who did personal training and she would go onto the super yachts and help them out with yoga, meditation, like all of this stuff. And she kind of told me what she was earning. And I got really jealous very quickly because I calculated in my head what she earned was what I would earn in like 4 days. What she earned in 4 days is what I would earn in a year. That was the insane part. Like these people were paying her mega loads to come onto their boat for a day and just pick her brains or do the yoga stuff. And she just said, hey, look, I can see that kind of annoyed you, but use that sort of energy to find out how you in your environment can make more money or be smart with your money. And that led to, yeah, some really cool opportunities. And so it's amazing the people that you can be around and, yeah, get some advice from.
Oh, 100%. I mean, anytime you feel envy, you can only feel envy if that's something you want. So even with these negative emotions and things, and I think it's totally natural to feel envious sometimes, turn that around and be like, okay, what's the fuel here? What's the lesson here? What does she have that I want? Mm. What's sparking this? And it might be, you know, that work-life balance that she's able to earn a lot in a short amount of time and then go off and do whatever she wants. Like, that's incredible. Okay, what has she sacrificed to get there? What has she built to get there? What is her unique skill that they are willing to pay so much for? How can I do something like that? And just always, always using it as fuel is really key, I think.
Love it. I absolutely love it. Now, coming back to your podcast, I think the last episode that's come out, you had some lady that was hugely in debt, came out of it, and now she's a part owner of a castle in Italy. Are these the conversations you have on your podcast?
I try to include personal stories as much as possible because I think, I mean, like I say, I'm so lucky, right, that I get to talk to fund managers and business leaders and all of these incredible experts. But the problem there can be when we're talking about, you know, here are the general rules of the game and here's how you do it and here's how you can pay off debt and the most efficient technique, yada, yada, yada. All of that is really good information, and I like to include that. But anytime I bring on a real person who says, here is this insane situation I found myself in, and here is how I dealt with it. Mm. Now, not every personal situation can be applied to our own situation. We are all wonderful, unique snowflakes. But, you know, hearing a real person talk about it is inspiring in a whole different way, where you hear about the challenges in their life and how they overcame them and the grit and determination that it took. It pushes you towards a mindset that I really believe in, which is, okay, that might not work for me, but what version of it does?
Mm.
What version of that can I take and learn from? And I think it's just so much more real when you talk to real people. So I'm constantly on the hunt for those real life stories. Again, social media is fantastic for digging them out. The number of people I've been scrolling on the Instagram and I'll find someone who's posting on a hashtag and just sharing this incredible journey. I'll say, come and share it with me.
Yes. Well, I'll let you know when I buy a castle and then we can have a conversation.
I know. Do you think if I've interviewed her now, does that qualify as we're friends and I can go and stay at her castle?
I think you could. Just make sure you go in the summer, because in the winter it must be so cold. Those things must be hard to keep warm. Like,
yeah, I don't imagine a castle being well insulated, no, to be fair.
Not at all. So definitely in the summer, but that's a good excuse to get over there to Europe in the summer. So yeah. Now look, all this education, all this learning, all the stuff that you're providing, do you think there's a really big gap for Kiwis in how we learn about money? I don't think they teach it at school. Like, I didn't even learn about property until I was like 30 something. Like, what are you seeing being an expert in this field?
I think it's tricky, right? In terms of, often they don't teach it in school, but sometimes they do. And when you think back to when you're a teenager, did you care? You know, like, none of this was real. If you're not having to pay bills and you're not trying to get ahead in life, none of it feels real. So sometimes we do come to it later in life. Sometimes we're only ready to come to it later in life. And so there is a huge problem, yes, definitely, with how much people understand about money and the easy things that could make life so much easier. I'm such a big believer that there's just a few small tweaks that most of us could make that would make our lives 10 times easier. And if you did nothing else with your money, that could make your day-to-day easier, your retirement easier. You know, you're not having to worry about putting the heating on in retirement because you just changed a KiwiSaver setting. You didn't even put more money into it. You know, I'm a big believer in that, but I'm a bit of a fan of radical self-responsibility in terms of there are genuine things that hold people back in life. And I truly believe that we all come from a different starting point and that it's really hard. But to sort of look at that and go, yes, that happened. Yes, that sucks. Yes, I didn't get the best starting point that I could have had, and that has held me back. But now what am I going to do about it? Now what can I change about that? And in no way dismissing that some people's journeys are harder than others, but to turn around and say, now what can I do? And there's a lot of information out there for free that you can just sit down and check out. You know, all of my books are in libraries. My podcast is totally free. There are other people doing amazing work in this space as well. And so I think the key is to say, okay, that sucks. Now what? It's always the what next is really, really key for the money journey.
I love it. And I can relate to everything you've said. Even like I was just saying to you, I got late into the property market when I did buy my first home, which that is a long story of how to get one, especially here in New Zealand. Boy, did we lose every auction and everything like that. But when we finally did it, I said to my wife, we're going to pay this down quickly so that we can have some financial freedom. And like my wife's face was like, oh no, here we go. But we did. And I ate ham sandwiches like every day in the office for like 5 years. I never went out. I know, and I've seen some of your podcast videos about, you know, it's not always good to be a frugal. It's all right to be a spender. But for 5 years or so, we just did not spend that much money on luxuries. And that just knocked our mortgage right out. And now when I look at it, it's nothing. It's like, I don't have to worry about that mortgage. I do have some other mortgages. I did get myself into more financial debt, but that's another conversation. But you do make these sacrifices. And I did think what you just said. I was like, I'm really old, but who cares? I just need to buy this house and get on with it. And that's what I have done. And it did change my life. So yeah.
I love that. I love that so much. And the thing is, that was clearly a sacrifice that you were ready and willing to make. I think the thing that I always try to communicate to people is I really want money to be a judgment-free zone where money is just a tool for building the best life for you. There is no right or wrong way to do it. It is about deciding what is important in your life. What do you want it to look like? And then you use money to build towards that. And so if someone's saying to me, but I really just love getting a takeaway coffee and it's, you know, my one treat for the day, then I'm going to say to them, cool, we're going to find a way for your budget to include that. But if it's someone like yourself who's saying, it is so important to me to get mortgage free and I am willing to do anything and everything to nail it, I want that. And I am willing to have ham sandwiches every day. Side note, ham sandwiches, delicious.
Well, not when you're eating them five times a week.
Did you have mustard in them? That is key.
Probably, yes. I'm sure I would have not
had.
I'm a big
fan of the ham and mustard combo.
There you go. There you go. Yes.
But, you know, that was something that was worth it to you because you had a goal at the end of it. And I think that is the key, knowing what you're aiming for and saying, I have this goal and that's going to make my life that much better. Okay, now working backwards, what am I prepared to do to get there? If you're just saving money because you think you should, because you think it makes you good and that that's the proper thing to do with your money, you'll never do it. It has to be for something.
Totally agree. Now, Miss Frances Cook, there's a reason why I wanted you on here, because I started noticing you about 2-3 years ago, and the main reason was TikTok. And I was like, oh, self-brand awareness here. I'm like, I'm constantly seeing this person. So now I'm interested to know, did you see the opportunity to make a name for yourself by being on TikTok? You probably don't think you are a name. I think you are. But so anyway, that's a different discussion. Did you see the opportunity and go for it? Were you already doing this on Instagram? What led to these TikTok reels?
Yeah, I've got to say, I think the moment that you think that you are a name, that's probably very dangerous for mental health. So I still post as if it's like one person following me. I try not to overthink it. But yeah, it's funny. TikTok, again, was fueled by my podcast. I was on a podcaster group on Facebook, and they were talking about how... Sorry, just trying to put my Strepsil in a good place. I'm on a podcaster group on Facebook, and they were talking about how they have been boosting their podcast just by talking about it on TikTok.
Mm.
And all I knew about TikTok at that point, you know, being a couple of years ago, was, ooh, the Chinese government uses it to monitor you.
And you have to dance.
Yeah, and you have to dance, which I will say, I have no idea about the Chinese government claims, maybe, but, you know, everyone else is monitoring me anyway, so whatever. And I have never done a TikTok dance because I don't think anyone needs to see that.
I have seen your earlier videos, though. You're doing the old points, you know?
Yes!
This is how you succeed in life. Here, 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 here. So I was like, oh, yeah.
We've yeah, pointing to text on TikTok was That's such right. a trend for a while. Doesn't work anymore.
There you go.
Thank God. Now I can just talk to the camera and that performs really well. But so I just went on there to be like, oh, you know, here's a new
podcast. Okay, so that's really interesting about the stuff that you're doing on TikTok. And I guess I want to know what you've learned, if there's any advice you can give merchants about, you know, how you post. Do you post every day? Do you schedule your content? Yeah, how busy are you with all this stuff?
Yeah, and I think the trick is to, I'm on many platforms now, and I take seriously Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn even, would you believe, is actually a platform that I've only just got into recently, but huge promise. And TikTok, a little bit on YouTube, Twitter and Threads, but that's mostly just talking absolute nonsense. But I'm on all of those now because I've been doing it for years, right? And Twitter and Threads, I don't actually even really treat that professionally. That's right. More of a personal thing. That's just me being a social media addict.
Sure.
So for anyone who's thinking about this for their business, my first piece of advice is think about your audience and who they're likely to be, and then focus on one social network at a time. Now, you might well expand out at another time and go elsewhere as well. But that'll be once that first social media network is a bit of muscle memory and you kind of know how you like to post there and what works, and you've built a bit of an audience. And then it's time to move on to something else, because it is much better to be posting regularly on one network than to be posting maybe once a month across six of them. There are so many social media networks now, and almost all of them will prioritize you if you are posting regularly. So if you are interested in reaching younger customers who like makeup and whatever, TikTok, you know, TikTok, obviously. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, Facebook is great for a slightly older audience, and you might be posting blog posts and things on there because it's easier to put links in. Or you might have a shop that is a bit more of a business to business. You're not actually really reaching out to your regular retail customers. You're trying to sell to other businesses, in which case LinkedIn, you know? So pick one and focus on it. The thing that I have found is that almost all of the platforms now, and I don't know if it's because they're also scared by TikTok, but almost all of the platforms are really highly prioritizing video.
Video content, absolutely.
Yeah. So if you do have a TikTok account that you're playing around with and you are posting a little bit, if you download that without the watermark on it, because the other platforms get upset that you're basically giving TikTok free advertising, but download it without the watermark. There are apps that help you with that. And you post it on other social media networks. Then you're using the same content elsewhere with very little extra effort. So there is also that way that you can do things.
Yeah, that's very good. And you kind of allude to it that staying on the platform might help you, you know, get more engagement. So are you finding yourself, you are in TikTok, you're uploading into TikTok, then you might be in LinkedIn, you're uploading on LinkedIn and conversing and liking stuff rather than using a platform that will push to all of those social media platforms? Is that something that you do or?
Yeah, yeah. So it's really hard to know what's rumor and what's real in the social media network, because people really chase engagement and numbers on social media. And so there's a lot of people selling snake oil, and there's a lot of people running with rumors that are actually just their own fears about the platforms not being nice to them.
Yes.
But a rumor that I do think has something to it is that some of the scheduling apps, the platforms don't really like them, and you might get lower push if you use a scheduling app to put them out.
As you say this, Lisa's giving me the evils, because that's what we used to do until she came over. She's like, we can't do this anymore. I'm like, well, I'm trying to streamline work and I want to do this. And so we, you know, like you said, it might be rumors, but we've started doing what you just said. We actually go into each platform and do that and have some engagement and talk to people. And we're starting to see the numbers really creep up. We're even at the fact that we're about to delete our TikTok account and restart it, because we think we've done such bad content at the start that TikTok's like, this account's just rubbish. Don't listen to these guys. So it's really interesting, just the research and the things that we do and the things that we have to learn.
Yeah.
Awesome. So that's some good advice. And I think you're absolutely right. Now, what platform do you prefer, or what platform are you getting like maybe a bigger reach? Is there one that outdoes the others?
Oh, it really depends. Instagram is probably my most loyal audience. If I post something on there, I can more guarantee, nothing's ever guaranteed in the social media world, but I can more guarantee that the people who follow me will actually see it. TikTok is fantastic for new people discovering you, but every single video has to perform on its own merit. It won't just push it to your followers because they follow you. Basically, every single new video, you're proving yourself again. So TikTok is fantastic for it will give you a viral hit like no other, but only if you deserve it, only if the content is good. It won't necessarily just give stuff to your followers because they've chosen to hit follow. So that's quite tough. I do love being snarky on Twitter. Twitter is a hell site these days. Elon Musk has ruined it, but I think it's probably my most personal social media site, where I just sit there and snark, and it's very fun, and I have very few professional goals there. So yeah, it depends a bit on what you're wanting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've noticed you've got, you know, quite a good following on TikTok. I'll say 100,000 plus. Have you noticed your videos are continuing to have just as much reach, or do you think there's a lot more competition now and you're not getting as many numbers? What are you seeing on that platform?
It's certainly, it used to be easier to guarantee what each video would get.
Right.
But now it's all over the place. It really makes you work for it. But I will say, you know, I think there's more people producing TikTok content, which means, again, whenever there's more competition, that makes it tougher. And there's also, you know, people are now out and about in the real world again. They're not spending as much time on their phones as they were 2 years ago, which is probably a very good thing.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's tricky. I will say I quite like TikTok is brutal, right? And you can post what you think is an awesome video and then it just gets barely anything in terms of views, or at least nothing in terms of what you were hoping for.
Right.
And then you can post one that just goes off.
Yes.
And is incredible. And I think the trick with social media is to forget about the numbers, except from a really sort of dispassionate, okay, interesting, what did people like about that? What was adding value for people there? And if you can just take your own ego out of it, and this constant, I think there's social media fuels fears of becoming irrelevant, of becoming yesterday's news. And I mean, if that happens, I think the good thing is I still have my, you know, my day job in regular media, which probably gives me a bit more security on that front. But you can just look at it and say, okay, what's resonating and why? And it actually gives you such interesting insights. You know, people never used to care about saving money content. And now it is the biggest thing that is absolutely popping off on my videos. People love websites that I might say, these are great places to get coupons or compare your power price. Or people love, I just put one out about food waste costs $1,500 for the average New Zealand household. So here's hacks to stop that. And that one's going quite well as well. And it gives you insight into what's bothering people. 6 months ago, people wanted to know about investing. Now they want to know about saving money. What does that tell you about the times we're in? So you've just got to take your own ego out of it and your own fears out of it and just be like, okay, what's working? Why?
There you go. There you go, folks. For those of you who are interested in doing more on social media, you just heard it right here from Frances Cook, who does have a large following, so she knows what she's talking about. I love it. Look, every question I've asked you today, you've given me a huge amount of answers and feedback. And, you know, I guess I'm just thinking about the merchants listening to this show today. Is there any other feedback you want to give to business owners? You know, our audience is, of course, in New Zealand, but we've got Australia and USA and Canada and all over the world. But for the Kiwis listening, is there any last final words from you that you want to say about what's going on, how they should do their business?
I think
your chin up.
Yeah. Totally keep your chin up. I think the thing, life, especially for small business owners, is always hard. It is always, even when you're doing well, there's always challenges, there's always curveballs, there is no safety net. It's very much, you risk it for the biscuit. Business can be amazingly rewarding, but also what a slog sometimes, right? And I think it's just about any time emotions and money mix, you're in trouble. So if you're feeling a strong emotion, fear or excitement or anything in between, that's a red flag, right? And that's something that must never guide your decisions. So if you can, as much as possible, just step back and be like, okay, what is? Okay, how do we deal with that? And that is, I think, the biggest thing, especially when people are throwing around the words like recession. Really easy to get caught up in, oh God, what's going to happen next? Nobody knows. Nobody knew that there was going to be a war breakout in Ukraine that would impact the rest of us, you know? And so it's just, what is happening now? How am I going to deal with that? And as much as you can, taking a beat, even if you have to take a walk around the block first, clear your head, then come back, sit down fresh, and you can deal with things less emotionally. That is going to be what separates those who lean into it and possibly even make more money from a tough time from those who really struggle. So yeah,
great
emotions
advice.
Out.
No, it's great advice, because you know, when COVID struck, there were some that were just, that's it, no more marketing spend, where the others, you know, double, triple down, and they have done so much better. So there's always opportunities, folks. There's always room to grow. And look, I want to say thank you so much for your time. We're going to put in the show notes all the links so that people know about your podcast, your two books. By the way, I love your 2022 book, Your Money, Your Future, because it can read many ways. Like, your money, well, you spent it all, so that's your future. Or your money, you invested it, well, you might have a really good future. I love that title. Do I have to read both books? Can I read one? No, just kidding.
You can absolutely read whichever one you prefer. So Tales from a Financial Hot Mess is sort of the money 101, everything I wish I'd known before I started educating myself about money. So that's mindset, paying off debt, and even all the way up to how to buy a house. And then Your Money, Your Future is very much focused on investing for financial independence. So that's leveling up your career, your earning potential, and then chucking that into investments that will give you that financial security that we all want.
Yes, absolutely. All right, folks, there you go. All the links will be below. Follow this girl online. She's got some fantastic advice, some fantastic knowledge. Once again, I'll say thank you so much for being on Talking Shop. I'll leave you to it. Have a great day.
Thanks for having me.